fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization.
All right.
And I hope you had a restful, peaceful weekend, a time to be with the Lord, with your family. I'm very excited today, friends, to be able to introduce to you a very good friend of mine from Memphis, Tennessee. His name is Mike Bishop. I've asked Mike to be on the show. He just happens to be in the Ann Arbor area for various reasons here for a board meeting and other things. And I asked him to come on the program because Mike's one of those people. He's a kind of high-impact Catholic layperson, but a man who's working in the business world. He's been very successful in his work, but he's a guy who's really integrated, you know, family, work, and the mission of the church into his life in a way that I think he's a kind of sign of where the Lord is leading more and more lay people to step into the mission of the church. And remembering the words of John Paul II, who said, you know, the hour of the laity has struck, where the Lord is calling forth laymen and women, all of us, all the baptized, to share in co-responsibility with the clergy in the life and the mission of the church. Mm-hmm. And Mike's just done an amazing job using the gifts God's given him to encourage people, to evangelize many people, to help lead a real outreach down in Memphis. So I've asked him to come in today. We'll talk a little bit about his personal life tomorrow, about the mission, the work that's going on down in the city. But welcome, Mike.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yeah, it was a long introduction. Sorry.
That anyone would be so kind for such words. I'm so grateful.
Yeah. There's so much that you can share. I wonder if you just, in this program today, Mike, just share a little bit about your own story, your own background, your faith life, and key things that really got you moving so passionately in the church for Jesus, you know?
Thank you so much, Peter. And to the extent that I am able to articulate those things, I would just offer first just the thought of true thanksgiving for parents that have truly don't feel deserving of them. A mother I would view as a true angel, and a father that is just the picture of virtue. Would also offer that perhaps as a younger boy, I didn't see it in the same way. But as back now as a 53-year-old man, I'm so grateful. So I would offer just immediate thoughts of true thanksgiving. Come from a family of four boys, basically 16, 18 months apart. I was born and largely raised in the early phases of my life in Jackson, Michigan. Not too far from here, and what a blessing it is to have this homecoming. But perhaps a more typical Catholic family. We went to Catholic schools. It was a common experience to go to Mass each week. Didn't know it then, but would offer that the faith was being taught to me more specifically just in action. Mom and Dad were very present. Mom was one that was full of joy. She was the picture of truly our faith lived authentically from my perspective. Dad was a father that was really what every son I would pray that they would experience.
You had an exceptional, in some ways, and unique upbringing. It didn't seem like it maybe at the time. It just seemed normal, but now you look back and say, wow.
That is exactly
right.
Your parents
were amazingly steady, loved us, loved the Lord.
Exactly.
And you just, it was kind of an ideal in some way.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Not perfect, of course. We didn't have necessarily a white picket fence, but as far as love at home, we had it. We had, you know, there was definitely an understanding of right and wrong. Mom and Dad were not afraid to make those decisions, to live in the tension, if you will, in the gap. And that is something that, as I look back now, you know, compared to today, where everything is relative, in our home, there was an absolute truth, right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I think about my life today, it was very clear as to really what God was calling to me, you know, as a young man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
And now you had some challenges as a young man, and your developmental years in particular, early high school and all that. Why don't you share some of that? I think it's really important part of how God shaped you.
I appreciate you asking. Perhaps like many of us as sons and brothers, as I was attempting to differentiate myself, for lack of a better word, you know, from my brothers, athletics was a huge part, you know, of our life. And football in particular was something that was quite significant around the Bishop home. The defining point was my freshman years when I essentially began to break out and found some success, if you will, for the first time, at least from my perspective, differentiating myself. Played linebacker for the football team, and I can readily recall the coach coming up to me one day and said, "Son," he said, you've got some spirit in you."
Yeah.
And so I really enjoyed the game and had hoped, you know, to further extend myself, you know, looking forward to playing for the varsity. And as would have it, as I was preparing for that, working out one day, my brother Bill and I were up doing push-ups. We had a goal to hit 100 push-ups as young guys. And one day my mom walked in, and as I was doing my push-ups, she happened to notice a lump on my back. And I had never noticed it up to that point in time. And I could see in her eyes that something clearly was wrong. Well, as it turns out, I was diagnosed with scoliosis, actually about a 50-degree curvature of the spine.
Wow.
That would forever change my life, though I really didn't know and really didn't understand the magnitude of it. My mom and dad did. I was rushed to the hospital. Actually, it was suggested that I should have immediate surgery and that this was something that just had to be attended to, that there could be a rotation of the spine. It could puncture my lungs. There was fear that it would have been life-threatening and things of that nature. And so, as you might gather, life had forever changed for me at that point in time. I really didn't know who I was anymore. Rather than the young teenager that was aspiring to be an athlete and things of that nature, you know, all of a sudden I was broken, if you will, and just really didn't know how to handle it. Through that process, I was put in a brace, what they call a Boston brace, for 23 hours a day. The 1 hour that I didn't wear it, I actually still practice football, if you can imagine. And that was recommended by my doctor because oftentimes young guys, they become depressed and become a little bit more overweight and things of that nature, and it just exacerbates the curvature. So the brace was used to attempt to contain it. It wasn't meant to fix it, if you will, but it was just
like a full upper body brace.
Upper body brace.
Wrapped all the way around you?
Yes. And you can imagine this picture as far as clothing and whatnot. And imagine yourself, you know, Peter, if you were in your teenage years and, you know, where you're very self-conscious and very mindful of the ladies, if you will. And that whole picture for me had changed because to try to cover up, if you will, this rather large contraption was quite significant. But I would say that as difficult as that was, I think I really learned something about myself and really what it meant to be a family at that point in time, because as difficult as it was to wear it, perhaps more difficult was the burden that was placed upon my family, because each day that brace had to be put on and someone had to singe it up, if you will. And so I can readily recall approaching my brothers and, you know, and asking them to, you know, you know, help me through this process. Yeah. And I know that they just, you know, I just knew that, you know, number one, looking at their brother put this thing on probably touched their heart, my sense would be. But quite frankly, after a period of time, it probably got to be an inconvenience. You know what I mean? It's like someone was always having to attend to this thing for Mike. And so I think I really learned the heart of my family. I saw selflessness lived out. I saw truly an unconditional love by virtue of them knowing what I was going through at that time. And while I wouldn't necessarily put that picture together at the time as it relates to my faith, as I look back at it now, I think that the Lord was making himself known to me by virtue of the person. Mm-hmm. You know, and when we speak of the person of Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ was brought to me or was incarnated for me in the name of Sue and Dick Bishop and Rick Bishop and Bill Bishop and Jim Bishop. And so through just the gift of their compassion and their tenderness to their brother that was going through something like this, while we didn't necessarily talk about it a lot because we were still guys, you know what I mean? We had a very manly house and they weren't going to show me, you know, all this outward sympathy, if you will. And quite frankly, I'm glad that they didn't, because that way I didn't feel odd, or, you know, I didn't want to feel like the victim or the patient. Sure. I was just a regular guy, you know, but at the same time, you know, like the soldier in battle that was wounded, you know, there still is the reality that our life as a family had changed as a result of the situation with one of us.
Now, you mentioned at one point that your grandmother at this stage had quite an impact on you, too.
The mere invitation to recall Grandma Bishop right now is a blessing. And so I thank you, Peter. You know, oftentimes we're asked if there was one person that you might name that was the most instrumental person in your life, or who is your hero. And no doubt my mom and dad are my heroes, as are my brothers. But I recollect with greatest fondness my grandmother Bishop. Grandma Bishop raised her family from a wheelchair, and stories would have it from my dad and aunts and uncles of, as she put, you know, the kids to bed, that she would place them on her lap, and she would essentially shimmy her way up, you know, two flights of stairs to put them to bed. And just the sacrifices that this woman made, particularly too through an early death of her husband. She lived a very difficult life. And I saw perseverance in her. I saw someone that could very easily have caved into themselves, feel sorry for themselves, become mad at the world, if you will. How and why did this happen to me? But she was a person that had greater joy than I had ever known. And I asked myself, how is it possible that somebody that was afflicted with such condition would evidence such joy in the world? And she was just that person. And she was a person that loved the Lord so very deeply, and can readily recall stories with her receiving communion. The priest, Father, was so kind to bring communion to her each week, and it was the high point of her day, no doubt. But too, I can readily recall, you know, just gathering around the kitchen table with her, and she loved to tell stories, and all the grandkids just thrived and just rushed to be close to her as she would tell us stories of her life and just the family and whatnot. And so there was true relationship, and so one of the things that she did that particularly stands out in my mind is that as I was going through a kind of a dark time in my life with my brace, Grandma Bishop reached out to me. You know, my memory would suggest that it was every week she would send a card to me, just a source of encouragement. And I was just dumbfounded by it, that this person would go to the efforts that she did to love me in a way that I didn't feel deserving of this, because quite frankly, she had several grandkids. And yeah. So why, you know, was this extended to me, you know? And so as it would turn out, she became the source of true encouragement in my life.
Yeah, and so it seems like, as you're describing it earlier too, that she understood a little bit what you were going through.
Absolutely.
Because of her own condition
she
and the
did.
Compassion she had.
She did.
And that simple, steady love.
Exactly.
Is something that touches your heart even today as you
exactly.
speak about it.
Yes.
Friends, you know, that's the kind of love that Jesus calls each one of us to, that kind of simple, steady, unconditional love, mm-hmm. selfless love, and she made that kind of sacrifice. Now, I know there's more to the story. Can you join us again tomorrow, Mike?
You bet. Thank
okay,
you so
friends,
much, Peter.
Good, look forward to it. God bless you, friends. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbig, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in the year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.